These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Hewlett, and I am joined by my partner here,
Favaz. Hi, John.
Hi. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMAN.
Keshi guy for me, and I hope you all had a Merry Christmas out there, and you too, U-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, and Happy New Year coming up.
Yes.
Well, today we have someone with us who's from the same band that we highlighted last week. Roger Waters was with us last week. This time it's a Nick Mason interview that I did November 4th, 2013. And he was promoting the Endless River album.
A record by Pink Floyd. I mean, it had a lot of leftover material, as I remember. And I know David Gilmour put the thing together. And you know, Nick Mason is Nick Mason. He's the drummer of Pink Floyd. He's going to be here in St. Louis in March of 2019, which I'm really excited about because I want to go see it. And the reason that we're doing another Pink Floyd member this week is because El Monstero, the St. Louis-based definitive Pink Floyd tribute, is having some more of their sold-out shows this weekend. So that's why we're doing Nick Mason for all those peeps that might be going and may not be going.
And Roger Waters, when he got his copy of The Endless River, threw it right in the garbage.
He probably did.
So this interview was done on the phone, and he's a very mild-mannered person.
Yes, he is.
He's the only member of Pink Floyd to have been in the band from the very beginning to what appears to be the
end. Yeah, right.
And, you know, he's had a couple talking parts in Pink Floyd music. Other than that, nothing but drums and percussion.
Yeah, he's a...
Didn't write anything?
No, but, you know, as the drummer, I mean, he's vital to the band.
Sure.
And the fact that he can put a band together and go out on tour like he's going to do says a lot. And they're going to do the early Pink Floyd stuff that they've ignored pretty much.
And the lead singer is going to be Gary Kemp, who was the lead singer in the group Spandau Ballet that had a couple of big hits back in the
day. They did. I kind of liked them.
Yeah, yeah.
But Guy Pratt, I think, is the bass player. He was the one talking about a lot of this this tour coming up, and he's part of the band because he's been in Pink Floyd since Roger Waters departed, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's going to be really neat.
And I haven't listened to this interview since probably 2013, so... I don't know if I asked him about his car racing and all that kind of stuff.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out about that, hopefully. And what else? I remember talking to him a little bit, I think, about the Gilmour, Roger Waters issues.
Dude.
And we talked about it in the last show. Well, we covered that subject matter in the last show when you interviewed Roger Waters. We'll see if it comes up again, because Nick Mason has recently made some comments about that.
And we'll talk about that later.
All right, okay, let's start the interview and see where we go. Nick Mason from 2013. Is this Nick?
It is Nick, yeah.
Hi, Nick. My name is John. John Hewlett at Keshi Radio in St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, John.
So you got to let them know because this is a series of, of interviews that he was doing that day with radio stations all over the country.
He may have had it on paper, but half the time they don't even look at it.
Yeah, you got to
read it. They just roll on.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us a call here today. There's a lot of excitement about the new Pink Floyd album, The Endless River. Congratulations on the album.
Thank you.
The weight of putting out a Pink Floyd album, it's got to be enormous. How did you balance that out in order to make the decision to even do this album now?
Well, it's taken 20-odd years to get to this point, I guess. But I think there's that moment when you think it's better to... that the music is worthy of being released. It's always exciting. There's always some trepidation about whether people will like it or not. And particularly in this instance, it's a very curious album. It's very old-fashioned in a way. It's made to sort of vinyl sort of lengths and consists of a package that includes an album sleeve, which many people won't see if they're downloading and streaming and so on. We feel it's good enough to stand by and put out and indeed come and talk about.
Well, he makes a good point in that automatically just go, hey, we got Pink Floyd stuff, and people, what you would think, hey, they'll go out and buy it. But, you know, Pink Floyd hasn't been like a recording entity for so long. This, like I said earlier, this was stuff from before that they're kind of repackaging and putting together. And, you know, there was some trepidation of, you know, will people like it or not? I don't even really know what it sold. I don't know how well it did.
Yeah, you know, no, but I don't think it did very well at all.
Yeah.
when you're going back and you're listening to things that you didn't think were very good the first time, which is why they didn't get on albums and they've been buried for 20 years, and now you go back and you go, well, maybe this is good enough now, it's probably still not good enough.
Probably not.
You know, it's probably still not. And I think that's kind of the response that they got with this release anyway. So, because it just went away. Nobody
it did.
Barely even talked
about it. I think
we
played one song. I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
And it took 20 years to do this. For what reason? You just knew that music was sitting out there, and you just didn't want to leave anything left in the vault, maybe, huh?
Well, there'll inevitably be things left in the vault that were never quite good enough to bring out. I think it really took quite a while to actually go through and filter what was really useful enough to turn into a proper record. From 20-odd hours we had of music that we jammed together on. And then when we distilled what we thought was worthy, it was a matter of developing that and adding to it in some cases, or writing the lyrics for the one song on the record. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a very slow and tortuous process in a way, but I think we're really pleased to have done it and got it out there.
I'm speaking with Pink Floyd drummer Nick Mason. Why is it mostly instrumental, Nick?
I think because we just felt that's what we'd done by playing this music. And there was a discussion about whether we needed more songs and so on, but at the end of the day, we reckoned that actually we didn't have to work to any rules. If we didn't want to put more songs on it, we wouldn't.
Well, when he refers to songs, I guess he's talking about songs that have words and vocals. That's a song to him. I guess the rest of this stuff is not considered songs.
I think a song is a song, right? If you whether it has words or not.
Yeah, but he's referring just to the songs that have words as songs.
Wow,
isn't that how you're getting this?
Yeah, that's how I took it too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be an instrument, primarily instrumental, and I think particularly with a lot of the keyboard playing from Richard, who sadly died some 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. It was such an opportunity, maybe, to feature some of this sort of playing, rather than worrying too much about whether we had to transform things into songs.
Yeah, I read where both of you kind of said this could be considered somewhat of a tribute album to Rick Wright.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity, really, to maybe give him a bit more recognition than he ever had about being such an important part of what is our sound.
Mm-hmm. Is it right or wrong to call it a concept album, Nick? Hold on, John. What Foz, what were you going to say?
Storm, remember the man Storm Thurgerson?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was the guy that did all the covers. He did Dark Side of the Moon, all of them. Mm-hmm. He died in 2013. Mm-hmm. So he was also, part of this whole thing was like not dedicated to him, but they were thinking about him. They had to have a different guy design the artwork and the whole thing. And Ahmed Urban Eldin Design Company did it. And it's just funny that this was also not only Richard Wright being gone, but Storm Thurgerson being gone, two fixtures in the Floyd. You know, one was a band member, but the other guy designed all their album covers.
Yeah, it's part of the team.
It's kind
of,
it's weird.
Okay, what did I just ask him?
I don't know. Let's go back.
Wrong to call it a concept album.
There
Nick.
We go. Yeah.
I think it's wrong.
Okay.
Feel free.
Yeah.
I don't mind. But it's not a concept album. There is no very specific story to this. There's a story to the song, and the song has a meaning. But the music itself is a collection of pieces of music that we really like.
He did it again. There's a story to the song. What's the
louder,
track listing?
Louder Than Words was the only one that had vocals.
Okay.
That's it. And the last line in this review that I'm reading, the album received mixed reviews.
In other words, mostly negative.
Yeah, mostly negative.
We feel work together and interlocked together. And but there's no sort of, for me, a concept album is an album with a story, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's not a story, it's a piece of music.
Let's continue with Nick Mason of Pink Floyd right after we hear a song from the new album. This is Louder Than Words off The Endless River on KSHE 95. Oh, there you go. So this was a live interview on the air.
Wow, it was. Yeah. And we can't play that song.
No.
So I'm assuming that it's not on there.
It's not on here.
Oh, okay. because of copyright and all that stuff. You can't put a real song on a podcast. Yeah.
So maybe while the song's playing, there's some good stuff here. I was talking to him.
Just cut it off and then you started recording again when you started talking to him.
Oh, this might be edited.
Or not? Yeah, I think it's edited. There's no way you'd keep him on the phone. Yeah,
let's see what.
Okay,
happens.
Here we go. And here we go.
The heck? It's rolling. Don't tell me there's nothing left of the interview here.
Get it potted down.
We're speaking with
Nick Mason, drummer for Pink Floyd. Nick, listening to Pink Floyd music over all these years, you know, it's very intricate, obviously. As the drummer of a band who's making very intricate music, is it harder to drum for a band like Pink Floyd versus, you know, so many others out there?
I don't think so. I think probably the most interesting facet of playing drums in this particular band is knowing when to stop. And, you know, when the drums shouldn't be thudding on through.
Yeah. Is that hard to decipher?
No, I'm a very, very lazy person. Very happy just to sit on the stool and listen to the others get on with it.
Now, are you and David going to tour to support the album, The Endless River?
Dumb question.
Yeah.
No, maybe not so dumb. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I think we already knew the answer. No.
No,
no,
I think
John.
Sadly not.
Sadly not.
Well, at least he didn't say no. Stupid question.
As much as I love touring, I just don't think, David has the appetite for touring. I know he wants to get on and work on a solo album that he's been sort of considering doing for some time now. And I also think there's a big problem with playing that music. It's not particularly well suited to, it's certainly not suited to the sort of large live show. And I think without Rick being there to play, it would be almost impossible to replace him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nick, you know there are several Pink Floyd tribute groups out there that are making a good living doing your music live.
Oh, same question you asked Roger.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go. See what he says.
And as you know, they're pretty good at it. I was just curious as, if you ever did decide to tour again, would you feel compelled to have to be, you know, perfect with your live sets as kind of they are, you know, how they match everything up perfectly? In a strange way, would the tribute bands here be putting more pressure on the original artists, if you know what I mean?
I don't think so. I mean, no. You're right. A lot of the tribute bands are fantastic. I mean, they can actually copy every mistake I've ever made. It's brilliant. But, I think that's still, I'd have to say, I think the real thing is still works better, partly because we're not trying to remember things exactly as they were played. In a way, I would always like, whenever playing any of our old music, to play it afresh. And I wouldn't particularly feel that I have to stick to exactly the same part any more than I think David would feel he had to play the same guitar solo.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You'd think specifically Pink Floyd music would have to be exact.
Right.
You know, how do you, freelancing in there, I mean, nobody would want to hear an extended version, I don't think, of any of their songs, because their songs are already extended.
Pretty long.
You know, pieces of music.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's interesting to hear him say that, he doesn't think that they would necessarily have to be right on the mark. We've come to expect that. From the tribute groups.
If I go to see Nick I'm not real familiar with the first two Floyd records, so that's what he's going to do come March. Yeah. But if I'm going to see him, I want to hear the stuff that I know, and I want to hear it like I know it. You know?
Yeah.
And it would be the same if they got back together and did Dark Side of the Moon or The Wall or whatever. I would want to.
Yeah,
the exact part, you know.
You wouldn't give Pink Floyd the same liberties that you might give any other band to make slight variations on the themes of their songs that we've come to know as recorded pieces of music, right?
I mean, right. No.
Yeah, that's why I asked him that, you know, because these tribute bands have been so right on the money.
I know.
For them to go out now and not be able to.
I think the tribute bands are afraid to go out, certainly, and venture off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, or take a walk in the woods, like Bob Weir said a few weeks ago.
The great thing with our music is to be able to stretch a bit and play it in a slightly different way every time.
Oh, good point. And finally, have you had any feedback from Roger Waters on The Endless River, or do his thoughts even matter to you at this point?
Good question, John.
Thank you.
Wow.
I haven't had any feedback yet. I will expect it eventually. I hope to see him soon. I'm still
Oh, he's being very careful.
He's laughing, yep.
Well, he's got to be careful.
Yeah, he's got to be careful.
Because really, can anybody be the drummer for Pink Floyd? I mean, if you ever got a reunion going and he pissed off both David Gilmour and Roger Waters, you think that they could easily replace him?
Well, you replaced Roger. I don't know that you can replace David, that voice.
You got to have at least one of those two, but I don't think you have to have Nick.
I don't think you do either. And I'm not trying to poo-poo on drummers, but...
No, but...
That's just, you know, if... I think we're venturing into territory that's going to piss off Pink Floyd fans and Nick Mason fans. So
yeah, well, I mean, it's got to be discussed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But that's the case with a lot of groups, right? I mean, the drummer can be replaced easily.
Sure.
But there's some great drummers, don't get me wrong.
Right.
Some
are
better than others.
Right. They're behind the scenes pretty much.
We've seen how tribute bands drummers can do whatever Nick's done.
Mm-hmm.
But... I hope eventually that he'd enjoy some of it.
Nick Mason of Pink Floyd, thank you for being with us. I know we're out of time here. We're on a short window, but I hope if you guys ever do decide to ever get back together again, or just you and David or whomever, hope St. Louis will be on your tour list because this city loves you. We got a group that does your music here, El Monstero, during the holidays.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up, man.
Season and once in a big outdoor show here in the summertime, and people just absolutely go nuts for it. So we'd love to see you in St. Louis again sometime soon. I don't know what the situation may be, but keep us in mind, okay?
And the situation is... He's coming with Saucer Full of Secrets, his band. The very early Pink Floyd stuff. So. First time in a long time.
Yeah.
Certainly will, and give the band my best wishes.
All right. Nick Mason of Pink Floyd on KG95. Thank you, Nick.
Bye.
Bye. Nope. It's dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, So I meant to tell the guys in El Monstero. I think I did tell Kevin Gagnepain.
I'll see Kevin
today. That I spoke to Nick Mason and told him about El Monstero, and then he told me to tell you guys...
Give
him the best.
That's pretty cool. We were going to talk about that Nick Mason just did an interview and said what we talked about in the Roger Waters interview, that Roger doesn't put much credence on the guitar player singer aspect of a band as he does the songwriting and arranging. And so that's why, Nick said that Roger just doesn't look at David Gilmour with as much
respect
that David deserves, that's part of the reason why they still not feud. They get along now, but you know, that's why Pink Floyd's not doing gigs anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So
of all the different rock bands out there, and you had to pick three of the biggest and the best, leave the Beatles out. Okay. Mm-hmm. 'Cause in my opinion, the Beatles are at a level all on their own.
They are.
Can't touch them. I say it's the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's Pink Floyd. After that,
Led Zeppelin.
Oh God, yeah, Led Zeppelin. Those three. Those are the three. All British bands.
Oh yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah, yeah.
And
England, in terms of its population size and its land territory, would probably be the equivalent of what? Maybe Missouri.
Yeah, maybe.
And to have all of that talent
in one place.
Try to put that into perspective. You know, if all that came out of just Missouri, you just say that's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just take it for granted.
And the Rolling Stones still go out and tour. You know, they're the ones that you know, because they're going to do it in 2019. They still do it. They don't need the money either.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the talent in just that one small area of the world.
It's crazy.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah. And you can go farther than that. You can look at Eric
Black
Clapton.
Sabbath. Eric Clapton, the Beatles, because we left them out, remember?
Right.
It's just mind-boggling. So, got to salute the Brits.
Yeah.
The British invasion, when it first happened back in the 60s, we had no idea what that was going to lead to eventually.
Sure.
And their domination of the music world, really.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the segment here today.
It's our last one of 2018, John.
Yeah.
We started this thing October 12th. That was our first episode. And now we move on to the next year.
Yeah. We've got a lot of interviews still.
Yeah, we still have
got
a ton.
Bunch of stuff to do. So hopefully you'll be tuning in every week. And thank you for listening today. Favaz, have a happy new year, buddy.
You too, John.
All right. Till next time, U-Man, saying so long. STL U-Man, you can follow me on Twitter that way and make contact if you wish.
Casey Guy on Twitter.
Adios, my friend.
You're bad.
The K- Keshi Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of Keshi, go to Keshi95.com or the Keshi mobile app.